Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. Chapter 3. The Family Dog. Nobody ever came right out and said that fudge was the reason my father lost the Juicy O account. But I thought about it. My father said he was glad to be rid of Mr. Yarby. Now he can spend more time on his other clients, like the Toddle Bike Company. My father is in charge of their new TV commercial. I thought maybe he could use me in it since I know how to stand on my head, but he said he doesn't plan on having any headstanders in the commercial. My grandma taught me to stand on my head when I spent the night at her house. I can stay up for as long as 3 minutes. I showed my mother, my father, and Fudge how I can do it right in the living room. They were all impressed, especially Fudge. He wanted to do it too, so I turned him upside down and tried to teach him, but he always tumbled over backwards. Right after I learned to stand on my head, Fudge stopped eating. He did it suddenly. One day he ate fine, and the next day, nothing. "No eat," he told my mother. She didn't pay too much attention to him until the third day. When he still refused to eat, she got upset. "You've got to eat, Fudgy," she said. "You want to grow up to be big and strong, don't you?" "No grow," Fudge said. That night, my mother told my father how worried she was about Fudge. So my father did tricks for him while my mother stood over his chair trying to get some food into his mouth. But nothing worked. Not even juggling oranges. Finally, my mother got the brilliant idea of me standing on my head while she fed Fudge. I wasn't very excited about standing on my head in the kitchen. The floor is awfully hard in there. But my mother begged me. She said, "It's very important for Fudge to eat. Please help us, Peter." So I stood on my head. When Fudge saw me upside down, he clapped his hands and laughed. When he laughs, he opens his mouth. That's when my mother stuffed some baked potato into it. But the next morning, I put my foot down. "No, I don't want to stand on my head in the kitchen or anywhere else," I added. "And if I don't hurry, I'll be late for school." "Don't you care if your brother starves?" "No," I told her. "Peter, what an awful thing to say." "Oh, he'll eat when he gets hungry. Why don't you just leave him alone?" That afternoon, when I came home from school, I found my brother on the kitchen floor playing with boxes of cereals and raisins and dried apricots. My mother was begging him to eat. "No, no, no," Fudge shouted. He made a terrible mess, dumping everything on the floor. "Please stand on your head, Peter," my mother said. "It's the only way he'll eat." "No," I told her. "I'm not going to stand on my head anymore." I went into my room and slammed the door. I played with Dribble until supper time. Nobody ever worries about me the way they worry about Fudge. If I decided not to eat, they'd probably never even notice. That night, during dinner, Fudge hid under the kitchen table. He said, "I'm a doggy. Woof, woof, woof." It was hard to eat with him under the table pulling on my legs. I waited for my father to say something. But he didn't. Finally, my mother jumped up. "I know," she said. "If Fudgy's a doggy, he wants to eat on the floor, right?" If you ask me, Fudge never even thought about that. But he liked the idea a lot. He barked and nodded his head. So my mother fixed his plate and put it under the table. Then she reached down and petted him like he was a real dog. My father said, "Aren't we carrying this a little too far?" My mother didn't answer. Fudge ate 2 bites of his dinner. My mother was satisfied. After a week of having him eat under the table, I felt like we really did have a family dog. I thought how great it would be if we could trade in Fudge for a nice Cocker Spaniel. That would solve all my problems. I'd walk him and feed him and play with him. He could even sleep on the edge of my bed at night. But of course, that was wishful thinking. My brother is here to stay, and there's nothing much I can do about it. Grandma came over with a million ideas about getting Fudge to eat. She tricked him by making milkshakes in the blender. When Fudge wasn't looking, she threw in an egg. Then she told him if he drank it all up, there would be a surprise in the bottom of the glass. The first time he believed her, he finished his milkshake. But all he saw was an empty glass. There wasn't any surprise. Fudge got so mad he threw the glass down. It smashed into little pieces. After that, Grandma left. The next day, my mother dragged Fudge to Dr. Cone's office. He told her to leave him alone, that Fudge would eat when he got hungry. I reminded my mother that I told her the same thing and for free. But I guess my mother didn't believe either one of us because she took Fudge to see three more doctors. None of them could find a thing wrong with my brother. One doctor even suggested that my mother cook Fudge his favorite foods. So that night, my mother broiled lamb chops just for Fudge. The rest of us ate stew. She served him the two little lamb chops on his plate under the table. Just the smell of them was enough to make my stomach growl. I thought it was mean of my mother to make them for Fudge and not me. Fudge looked at his lamb chops for a few minutes, then he pushed his plate away. "No," he said, "no chops." "Fudgy, you'll starve," my mother cried. "You must eat." "No chops. Cornflakes," Fudge said. "Want cornflakes." My mother ran to get the cereal for Fudge. "You can eat the chops if you want them, Peter," she told me. I reached down and helped myself to the lamb chops. My mother handed Fudge his bowl of cereal, but he didn't eat it. He sat at my feet and looked up at me. He watched me eat his chops. "Eat your cereal," my father said. "No, no eat cereal," Fudge yelled. My father was really mad. His face turned bright red. He said, "Fudge, you will eat that cereal or you will wear it." This was turning out to be fun after all, I thought. And the lamb chops were really tasty. I dipped the bone in my ketchup and chewed away. Fudge messed around with his cereal for a minute. Then he looked at my father and said, "No eat. No eat. No eat." My father wiped his mouth with his napkin, pushed back his chair, and got up from the table. He picked up the bowl of cereal in one hand and Fudge in the other. He carried them both into the bathroom. I went along, nibbling on a bone, to see what was going to happen. My father stood Fudge in the tub and dumped the whole bowl of cereal right over his head. Fudge screamed. He sure can scream loud. My father motioned for me to go back to the kitchen. He joined us in a minute. We sat down and finished our dinner. Fudge kept on screaming. My mother wanted to go to him, but my father told her to stay where she was. He'd had enough of Fudge's monkey business at mealtimes. I think my mother really was relieved that my father had taken over. For once, my brother got what he deserved, and I was glad. The next day, Fudge sat at the table again, in his little red booster chair, where he belongs. He ate everything my mother put in front of him. No more doggy, he told us. And for a long time after that, his favorite expression was, eat it or wear it. Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, Chapter 4, My Brother the Bird. We live near Central Park. On nice days, I like to play there after school. I'm allowed to walk over by myself as long as I'm going to be with friends. My mother doesn't want me hanging around the park alone. For one thing, Jimmy Fargo has been mugged 3 times, twice for his bicycle and once for his money. Only he didn't have any to give the muggers. I've never been mugged, but sooner or later, I probably will be. My father's told me what to do. Give the muggers whatever they want and try not to get hit on the head. Sometimes, after you're mugged, you get to go to the police headquarters. You look at a bunch of pictures of crooks to see if you can recognize the guys that mugged you. I think it would be neat to look at all those pictures. It's not that I want to get mugged, because that could be really scary. It's just that Jimmy Fargo's always talking about his visit to police headquarters. My father got mugged once in a subway by 2 girls and a guy. They took his wallet and his briefcase. He still travels around by subways, but my mother doesn't. She sticks to buses and taxis. Both my mother and my father are always warning me never to talk to strangers in the park, because a lot of dope pushers hang around there. But taking dope is even dumber than smoking, so nobody's going to hook me. We live on the west side of the park. If I want to get to the zoo and the pony carts, I have to walk all the way through to the east side. Sometimes my mother walks across the park with Fudge. He likes the animals a lot, especially the monkeys. He also likes the helium-filled balloons. But as soon as my mother buys him one, he lets it go. I think he likes to see it float up in the sky. My mother says that's a waste of money, and she's not going to buy him any more balloons until he promises not to let go. On Sundays, the park is closed to traffic, and you can ride your bicycle all over without worrying about being run down by some crazy driver. Even Fudge can ride. He has a little blue toddle bike, a present from my father's client. And when he's riding, he makes motorcycle noises. Vroom, 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 he yells. In the fall, the leaves turn darker and drop off the trees. Sometimes there's a big leaf pile on the ground. It's fun to jump around in them. I never saw bright red, yellow, and orange leaves until the day my father took us to drive in the country. The reason the leaves don't turn bright colors in New York is the air pollution. And that's too bad, because yellow and orange and red leaves really look neat. One nice sunny afternoon, I called for Jimmy Fargo and we went to the park. Jimmy is the only kid on my block who's in my class at school, unless you count Sheila, and I don't. She lives in my building on the 10th floor. Henry, the elevator operator, is always making jokes about me and Sheila. He thinks we like each other. The truth is, I can't stand her. She's a real know-it-all, but I've discovered that most girls are. The worst thing about Sheila is the way she's always trying to touch me. And when she does, she yells, "Peter's got the cooties! Peter's got the cooties!" I don't believe in cooties anymore. When I was in 2nd grade, I used to examine myself to see if I had them, but I never found any. By 4th grade, most kids give up on cooties, but not Sheila. She's still going strong, so I have to keep a safe distance from her. My mother thinks Sheila is the greatest. She's so smart, my mother says. And someday, she's going to be a real beauty. Now that's the funniest, because Sheila looks a lot like the monkeys that Fudge is so crazy about. So maybe she'll look beautiful to some ape, but never to me. Me and Jimmy have this special group of rocks where we like to play when we're in the park. We play secret agent up there. Jimmy can imitate all kinds of foreign accents, probably because his father is a part-time actor. When he's not acting, he teaches a class at City College. Today, when we got to our rocks, who should be perched up there but Sheila? She was pretending to read a book, but I think she was just waiting for me and Jimmy to find out what we'd do when we found her on our own personal rocks. "Hey, Sheila," I said. "Those are our rocks." "Says who?" she asked. "Come on, Sheila," Jimmy said, climbing up. "You know me and Peter hang out here." "Too bad for you," Sheila said. "Oh, Sheila," I shouted. "Go and find yourself another rock." "I like this one," she said, as if she owned the park. "So why don't you two go find another rock?" Just then, who should come tearing down the path but Fudge. My mother was right behind him hollering, "Fudgy, wait for mommy." But when Fudge gets going, he doesn't wait for anybody. He was after some pigeons. "Birdie, here, birdie," he called. That brother of mine loves birds, but he can't get it through his head that the birds aren't about to let him catch them. "Hi, Mom," I said. My mother stopped running. "Peter, am I glad to see you. I can't keep up with Fudge." "Mrs. Hatcher? Mrs. Hatcher?" Sheila called, scrambling down from our rock. "I'll watch Fudge for you. I'll take very good care of him. Can I, Mrs. Hatcher? Oh, please?" Sheila jumped up and down and begged some more. Jimmy gave me an elbow in the ribs. He thought that my mother would let Sheila watch Fudge and then we'd be rid of her. We'd be free to play secret agent. But Jimmy didn't know that my mother would never trust Sheila with her dear little boy. Fudge, in the meantime, was screaming, "Come back, birdies! Come back to Fudgy!" Then my mother did a strange thing. She checked her watch and said, "You know, I do have to run back to the apartment. I forgot to turn on the oven." "Do you really think you can keep an eye on Fudge for just 10 minutes?" "Of course I can, Mrs. Hatcher," Sheila said. "I know all about babysitting from my sister." Sheila's sister Libby is in 7th grade. She's about as beautiful as Sheila. The only difference is she's bigger. My mother hesitated. "I don't know," she said. "I've never left Fudge before." She looked at me. "Peter?" "What?" "Will you and Jimmy help Sheila watch Fudge while I run home for a minute?" "Oh, Mom, do we have to?" "Please, Peter, I'll be right back. I'll feel better if all three of you are watching him." "What do you say?" I asked Jimmy. "Sure," he answered. "Why not?" "But I'm in charge of Fudgy, aren't I?" Sheila asked my mother. "Well, I guess so," my mother said to Sheila. "You probably do know more about babysitting. Why don't you all take Fudge over to the playground? Then I'll know where to find you." "Swell, Mrs. Hatcher," Sheila said. "Don't you worry. Fudgy will be just fine." My mother turned to Fudge. "Now you be a good boy for 10 minutes. Mommy will be right back, okay?" "Good boy," Fudge said. "Good, good, good." As soon as my mother was gone, Fudge took off. "Can't catch me," he hollered. "Can't catch Fudgy." Go get him, Sheila, I said. You're in charge, remember? Me and Jimmy horsed around while Sheila ran after Fudge. When she caught him, we decided we'd better go to the playground like my mother said. It was a lot easier to keep an eye on him in a smaller place. Anyway, Fudge likes to climb on the jungle gym, and that way he can't get lost. As soon as we got to the playground, Sheila started chasing me. Peter's got the cooties, Peter's got the cooties, she yelled. Cut that out, I said. So she chased Jimmy. Jimmy's got the cooties, Jimmy's got the cooties. Me and Jimmy decided to fight back. So what if she's a girl? She started it. We grabbed her by the arms. She squirmed and tried to get away from us, but we wouldn't let go. We hollered really loud. Sheila's got the cooties. Sheila's got the cooties. All three of us were so busy fooling around that we didn't notice Fudge up on the jungle gym until he called, Pita, Pita. That's how he says my name. What? I asked. See? See? Fudge flapped his arms around. Fudgy's a birdie. Fudgy's a birdie. Fly, birdie. Fly. That crazy kid, I thought, running to the jungle gym with Jimmy and Sheila right behind me. But it was too late. Fudge already found out he didn't have wings. He fell to the ground. He was screaming and crying, and his face was a mess of blood. I couldn't even tell where the blood was coming from at first. Then Jimmy handed me his handkerchief. I don't know how clean it was, but it was better than nothing. I mopped some blood off Fudge's face. Sheila cried. It wasn't my fault, honest, it wasn't. Oh, shut up, I told her. He's really a mess, Jimmy said, inspecting Fudge. And his teeth are gone, too. What are you talking about? I asked Jimmy. Look in his mouth, Jimmy said. Now, while he's screaming, see? He's got a big space where he used to have his front teeth. Oh, no, Sheila screamed. He's right. Fudgy's teeth are gone. Fudge stopped crying for a minute. All gone? He asked. Open your mouth wide, I said. He did, and I looked in. It was true. His top two front teeth were missing. My mother's going to kill you, Sheila, I said. Was I glad I wasn't left in charge of my brother? Sheila cried louder. But it was an accident. He did it himself. Himself. You better find his teeth, I said. Where should I look? Sheila asked. On the ground, stupid. Sheila crawled around looking for Fudge's teeth while I tried to clean him up some more. See? Fudge said, showing me all his wounds. Boo-boo here and here. More boo-boo here. His knees and elbows were all scraped up. I'm going to get your mother, Jimmy hollered, running out of the playground. Good idea, I called. I just can't find them, Sheila said. Well, keep looking, I yelled. Honestly, Peter, there aren't any teeth here. All gone? Fudge asked again. Not all, I told him. Just two. Fudge started to scream. Want my teeth? Want my teeth? Jimmy must have met my mother on her way back to the park because it only took about 2 minutes for her to get there. By that time, a whole crowd of kids had gathered around us. Most of them were crawling on the ground like Sheila, looking for Fudge's teeth. My mother picked up Fudge. Oh, my baby, my precious, my little love, she kissed them all over. Show mommy where it hurts. Fudge showed her all his boo-boos. Then he said, all gone. What's all gone? My mother asked. His top two front teeth, I said. Oh, no, my mother cried. Oh, my poor little angel. Sheila sniffled and said, I just can't find them, Mrs. Hatcher. I've looked everywhere, but Fudge's teeth are gone. He must have swallowed them, my mother said, looking into Fudge's mouth. Oh, Mrs. Hatcher, how awful. I'm sorry. I'm really very sorry, Sheila cried. What will happen to him? He'll be all right, Sheila, my mother said. I'm sure it was an accident. Nobody's blaming you. Sheila started bawling again. My mother said, let's go home now. I thought my mother was being pretty easy on Sheila. After all, she was left in charge. When we got home, Mom washed Fudge's cuts and scrapes with peroxide. Then she called Dr. Cohn. He told her to take Fudge to our dentist. So my mother called Dr. Brown's office and made an appointment for the next day. When that was done, she gave Fudge some socks to play with. I went into the kitchen to have a glass of juice. My mother followed me. Peter Warren Hatcher, she said. I'm sorry that I can't trust you for just 10 minutes. Me? I asked. Trust me? What's this got to do with me? My mother raised her voice. I left your brother with you for 10 minutes and just look at what happened. I'm disgusted with you. It was Sheila's fault, I said. You said Sheila was in charge. So how come you're mad at me and not at Sheila? I just am, my mother shouted. I ran to my room and slammed the door. I watched Dribble walk around on his favorite rock. My mother's the meanest mother in the whole world, I told my turtle. She loves Fudge more than me. She doesn't even love me anymore. She doesn't even like me. Maybe I'm not her real son. Maybe somebody left me in a basket on her doorstep. My real mother's probably a beautiful princess. I'll bet she'd like to have me back. Nobody needs me around here, that's for sure. I didn't eat much supper that night, and I had a lot of trouble falling asleep. The next morning, my mother came into my room and sat down on my bed. I didn't look at her. Peter, she said. I didn't answer. Peter, I said some things yesterday that I didn't really mean. I looked at her. Honest? I asked. Yes. You see, I was very upset over Fudge's accident and I had to blame somebody, so I picked on you. Yes, I said. You sure did. It wasn't your fault, though. I know that. It was an accident. It could have happened even if I had been in the playground myself. He wanted to fly, I said. He thought he was a bird. I don't think he'll try to fly again, my mother said. Me neither, I told her. Then we both laughed, and I knew she was my real mother after all.